TSN Hockey Insider Bob McKenzie joins us. Bobby Mack, how are you?
Hey, I heard a rumor that Brian Hayes is not there. Scotty Mack.
Bobby, and we don't care. We actually like it, and we've got a new show called The Scotty Mack Show.
Nice.
Featuring Overdrive.
Yeah.
Somebody, Bob, and next time you're doing a little research and digging into Brian Hayes' past, you can go to his Hockey DB page.
And they changed it to Scott MacArthur.
Disgusting.
It's a pretty soft. Have you taken the whole week off?
We don't know.
There's a vicious rumor out there that it may take him a week to get back.
Whoa.
He's day to day, at the very least.
You know what? It's day to day.
I got to be brutally honest, though, boys. If it's me, I'm committed to a month off.
Yeah, I think if it was you, it
you're like, Joe for from sure the bridging it.
I would Joe from the bridge it and take a month off and just mail it in, and I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't want to be caught golfing or anything, but I would take a month off.
I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable.
Just make sure you've got your tie on tomorrow night, though.
Hang on, Bob. Like, you don't think that would fly? No tie in the panel? I'm sitting beside Jamie. He's got no tie, and he looks good.
What? Hey, no tie, no guy.
No guy.
No guy.
So what does that stem from? Because I was looking at
I'm watching all the NFL shows yesterday, and the panels, they got great panels, and I'm looking at the guys, and I'm like, they're not wearing ties. Why the hell do you have to wear a tie?
Because that's how we do it.
That's a classy. Oh boy. I was watching the San Jose
podcast. I'll tell you what. Why don't you,
try it.
Don't ask me. Why don't you ask Millier?
Yeah, see how that goes.
Okay, I'll wear a tie. Boss.
I used to say that TSN was the suit network, but that's another story.
Well, I was watching the San Jose broadcast the other day. I don't know if you saw Curtis Brown's get up. Like, he's got a beard. He's got a beard as big as Brent Burns.
He's got the jumbo beard going.
And he had his shirt untucked and blue jeans on.
It was like it was a very relaxed panel, I will tell you that.
That's San Jose. It's California, baby.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go. Curtis Brown, well into retirement now, doing a little TV. Bobby, Saturday night in Montreal, the Leafs get the win. And we were talking about this earlier on in the show. I don't think we're breaking any new ground when we say it. But it probably wasn't the Leafs' best game. It probably was one of Montreal's better games so far this season. But it's not often in Toronto we've been able to sit back and say, when the Leafs need a goal, they've got a game breaker the caliber of Austin Matthews. And as if we needed reminding, but we got another reminder or two on Saturday night.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, and the goals he's getting in overtime, the game against Chicago, the Montreal game on Saturday night, they're pretty spectacular. He's not just, chunking one in here or there. That was ridiculous. The pass that Nylander made was ridiculous. The ability for Matthews to catch it and release it as quickly as he did and get it to the top of the net, that was insane. Same as the Chicago one where you wind up, come down and basically overpower the goaltender. So yeah, it kind of adds to the early legend, I guess. And you're probably right. The Leafs were okay on Saturday night. They weren't bad. They weren't spectacular. Montreal is actually, for a team that's had a tough time getting any wins or very many wins, they've actually played a lot of really good games. I watched the last Tuesday game, Chicago-Montreal. wasn't even close. Montreal was so far the better team that night.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. They just couldn't finish. And they got some goals on Saturday night, but they still, and they got a point, but they couldn't get the win. But onward and upward, I guess.
I think if you get Carey Price playing like Carey Price and Montreal playing like that, they could have a different record. I don't think Carey Price is... He's certainly not mid-season form. He hasn't been great. They rely on him a lot. But I agree, Bob. I watched the Chicago game. Corey Crawford was unreal that night. Now, maybe you could argue Montreal doesn't have the finishers that, for example, that Toronto does. But they still have some talent up there. It just that's why I said earlier in the show, I subscribe to your theory of let's talk in a month when things have settled down. So you're fine with Montreal kind of? You think they're projecting in the right area?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, listen, are there some things I've seen in the first 2 weeks that are a concern? Yeah, we kind of felt that way even before the season began. It was wait and see on a number of things. But overall, yeah, you know, Montreal has played pretty good hockey in spite of the fact they don't have a very good record in the regular season. Their preseason was a disaster outside of their last game when they blew Ottawa out. And they obviously are having a tough time scoring goals, which might be a chronic problem. That, you know, we don't know that yet, but that's why you got to give it some time. And they're not going to need as many goals if Price plays the way that Price is capable of playing, which he, as you said, and it's true, we look at his save percentage, his overall game is not where it needs to be. So, I would think that's the given. I expect Carey Price is going to get better. So, and if he gets better, then Montreal will get better too.
Bobby, where do you think coaches' minds are at when they're moving around players in a lineup as far as Mike Babcock and Mitch Marner? Is this just to say, hey, buddy, like, I'm watching you and we're winning and I'm still watching you and I don't like what I'm seeing?
Yep.
Because we've had lots of conversations during periods of hockey games where I think you told me a classic line from Pat Burns was, you know, you kind of screw around with the players because if they start doing it, then you're out. So what is the coach's mindset here?
Well, I think the mindset is that that line hasn't been good enough. Now, publicly, he gave Marner a little cover today, excuse me, and he basically said, you know, you're the young guy on the line, so we could have messed with Bozak or Van Riemsdyk just as easily as Marner, and that's probably true to some degree, but I think too he's probably thinking that Marner's the guy that needs the biggest kick in the butt of the three, and so he can do it because he's got Connor Brown, and Marner handled it exactly the way that he should handle it. He was real positive and upbeat about it. Don't look at it as a demotion. I mean, Connor Brown could have pouted when he went down to the fourth line, and he didn't. That game last Monday, a week ago tonight against the Blackhawks, next to Matthews, Connor Brown was the best player on the ice for the mm-hmm. Leafs. And he's generating minutes and offensive opportunities and penalty killing and all those things from, quote-unquote, being on the fourth line. And there's no reason why Mitch Marner can't do the same thing. He doesn't get as much primary penalty killing time, but along the way he's been getting some. And, and the funny thing is, I mean, it's not a big concern for me because a year ago, Marner came into the league and nobody was 100% sure whether he was going to stick or whether he was going to go back to London. And what he quickly demonstrated and quickly won over Mike Babcock was how hard he worked when he didn't have the puck. He was a fierce back checker and his defensive awareness was strong. And he looked committed to doing all the things you need to do to win over a coach, even though you're an underage junior and not the biggest physical specimen in the world. So he's capable of doing it. He's just off to a bit of a slow start, and it shouldn't be viewed as anything more or less than that. But because we analyze everything 7 ways to Sunday, and there's a fourth line, and he, you know, whatever line he was on before, is it the second line? Is it the third line? I don't know. But in any case, it's a little bit of a wake-up call for him and probably a little bit of a wake-up call for Van Riemsdyk and Bozak as well, who both need to be a lot better.
Do you not find it goofy that, like, it's kind of a... There's a situation in Vegas where the mood around that town is obviously we know what it is. What do you not find it kind of goofy that their Twitter account would do something so goofy yesterday and have that taken down? Like, I don't know, some of these teams, their Twitter accounts want to be edgy and... I just find that, like, just really goofy.
Well, the short answer is, if you want to be edgy on Twitter, usually there's a point in time where you might make an error in judgment and, you know, you end up crossing the line. Edgy by its nature means it's out there on the edge. Well, if everybody loves it until you step over the line, and then everybody's mad at you and you hear about it, and then you have to apologize. And if it's really, really bad, which keeping in context with this one, and when I say really bad, like, you know, if it's so far offside, you lose your job. And it's a hell of a way to go about life, losing your job over an attempt to be snarky or funny or ingenious on Twitter. or social media. And I pray that I get through my career, which doesn't have that many more years to go, without saying or doing something so stupid on Twitter that you end up losing a job and your reputation and all those things. Now, up until yesterday, everybody was loving everything that the guy who runs the Vegas social media account was doing. There were stories about him, how bright he is and how sharp he is and how caustic and funny and isn't this great and
did he just? Yeah, he just won.
That's a tribute to Brian Hayes today.
Yeah,
just
that
people's
is.
Phones.
Because he would
the ghost of Brian Hayes.
Hayes would have scissor kicked that glass and attacked Tyler Hunt for that because, and that sounds like that's
he, Brian Hayes would have hated me, Jamie, Tyler, Mulls, and Fergie for that.
Somehow it would be all of our fault.
Because it's just unacceptable.
And the look, like, we're on TV, but if they would pan to Hayes' face.
Oh, yeah. He would have done the Dave Hodge pan.
Would have been over?
The glare, he would just burn a hole through that glass.
Well, and it would have been piggybacked off of Tim Kirkjian's cell phone from last hour. So there would have been billed.